welcome to Questioning War, Organizing Resistance. I'm your host, Carol Brie, and this is the 9/11 Truth Show, and we're very honored to have with us Jules Edward. He's an organizer. He's a musician. He lives in Brussels, and he just woke up. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning over there, and I don't know how much sleep he had last night. But I'm very pleased that he's with us. And Jules, I want to thank you so much for your work. And can you please tell us what there's a wonderful video, and I hope everybody has seen it, about the march that you organized last year in Brussels. You had a couple hundred people, and it was just there was a beautiful, inspiring video done, and it looks to me like you're expecting at least twice that number this year. What gave you the idea, and how did these come about?
Well, first of all, good morning to you too, of course, or good night for you. We had quite a hell of a night, so I'll try to do my best to speak a little bit coherent English, or at least something that sounds like it. But this year it's really better than last year. So you can feel it already if you just see the website, if you watch that video. But it's how should I say? Last year I really started all from nothing. I got unexpected help from unexpected corners. We had a good deal with the police last year, really about safety and all such. It was really okay. Here it's still not as it is in the States. We really work with the police here if we organize a protest, rather than having trouble getting through the planned route or the planned journey. We really make sure everything is planned in advance, and the day itself is just about unfolding the plan instead of just trying to see and then where to run to. But
it's a permitted, right? It's a peaceful, like, parade type permit.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So we always try to ask ourselves, if you would be a mother or if you would be a child, what would you think that is an enjoyable day? After all, some people really buy a plane ticket, actually, to come to Brussels and walk through this the streets of Brussels. So we really need to consider to make it a cool day without too much hassle. It needs to be fun for the kids. It needs to be fun for the media. It needs to be a parkour with beautiful pictures and such. So there's really coming a lot of things for us to take in account, so it's really cool.
I can empathize totally. Actually, we're doing our 7th annual march in San Francisco, and it's my favorite part of the year is like the 2 mile walk we have through Golden Gate Park with the kids and the moms and the strollers, and we sing and we chant and we have a great time, and it's really nice. Mm-hmm. We did one in Chicago too, where I worked with a local person from California to get the permits, and I said, no, we have to have permits, we have to, you know, plan it, we have to make it easy for people. So mm-hmm. I can appreciate the work, but you're also in Brussels, so you know the city, and you've mapped the route, and you...
Well, we map it, we try to map it, but we can feel every year it's getting more and more difficult to get done what we want to get done. There's always new influences, always more and stronger rules. These are the things you can do. You can do this. Sometimes it's on the edge of being childish even, but we cope with it, and that's all we can do. So this year we really wasted actually almost 14 days with just political games. That doesn't matter. For us, the only thing to be proud of is that all the parties of the games, at the end, they all shake hands. It was mainly our... We made that happen, and at the end, somebody who really doesn't know anything about all these games or whatever happened, they won't notice. So that's, for us, is the only important stuff. But next to that, of course, we have an enormous offline mobilization here, at least if you consider that we are talking about a subject that doesn't affect the day-to-day life of any Belgian at all. The people really don't care anymore about 9/11 here, because it was 7 years ago, you know, the whole stuff. So it's, yeah, we really did one hell of a job this year, although I say it myself, and I say it before the protest actually takes place. We can already feel it. Yesterday we had one of the last big flyer campaigns at the central station of Brussels, and you really could feel that people were very interested. They even asked for a flyer, they asked for information. Two of them, of those 1,000 people we flyered, they actually said, yes, I definitely considered to come, but if you will excuse me, otherwise I will miss my train. So it's it was really, I was happy to be there.
Good. And what, I know that Zero was shown in the European Parliament in Brussels.
Yeah, that's correct.
And the media just didn't cover it at all, and there were only 6 parliamentarians there. So how much of this information has actually reached the people of Belgium and in Europe? Is it, I mean, I'm here in the United States. I have, I think, so much work to educate Americans. Mm-hmm. I can't begin to think of going to Europe to try to do the work there. What is the consciousness there?
This might come to a shock to you, but we actually have a little bit of a very conscious population here. As people really still, how do you say that? The problem is, you have no offense to America, by the way, because, yeah, no offense at all, because we're just the same human beings, to my opinion. But in America, you have a kind of atmosphere hanging over the population, let's say. So, you can, if you're a government, you really know how to manipulate that population, right? Mm-hmm. So whenever you come into that stage and you see, if I manipulate my population this way and this way, they will react that way. The problem is, for Europe, they don't think that much. And to my opinion, as I'm seeing it now, they're really much copycatting it from the United States. But lots of people are seeing, this is really, this must be a setup, this is something, no, this cannot be true. So the awareness is much higher, because here, the, how would you call it, let's say the New World Order or whatever is trying to form right now above our heads in Europe, and we totally have no control of it. These guys are really have not done their homework very well. But still, the vast majority of the population is at the same time aware of the facts. Yeah, of course, 9/11, it could not have been Osama bin Laden. Come on, if you just watch it and if you look, because we are also on a bigger distance of all these events, we have much more relativation. We really can see, like, oh, no, this is not possible. But on the other hand, it's still your day-to-day life, and every day they also read newspapers. Every day they get their half an hour load, and at every TV channel they turn on, they just get the same brainwashing like every American. So it's really important to understand that here in Europe you have the two-faced side. Every person is an aware person, and at the same time is brainwashed and wants to stay brainwashed. Otherwise, whenever he gets out, he steps out of that cycle, he steps out of that system, he knows he's immediately going to fall in a dark hole. So what we are trying to do, to answer your question about how is the media covering us and such, actually, last year I just said we don't care anymore, because these media are not important. If they really think they should cover us, then they should cover us. But for me, they are not required anymore at our events. We invite them, we send press releases, we do everything like every normal truth march or whatever you want to call it should do. Right. But we don't expect them anymore. Because for us, we did now 3 months, I say again, with almost 20 people. I know that doesn't sound much, but they are really very energetic people, and they really know how to do things. And we just go on out in the street, and we don't start shouting or anything. We just offer the information by a leaflet, or we distribute free DVDs at concerts. We don't care how we do it.
Yeah.
But we really stay very calm. Anything, we just offer the information. And if people come to us, if they try to be make an attempt to find more information, we can provide them more folders, or we can provide them a list of websites, whatever. But I mean, it's not about getting it through the media. Maybe other organizations are still trying to do that, but to me, what I found last year, we really spent a lot of a deal of time with it, and the media just didn't respond to it in the same amount of energy that we put in it. So no, for me, it's not that important anymore.
Well, I know here for me, the barrier, we've just basically had to become the media, and mm-hmm. Luckily, there's been a technological revolution since I started doing this. We made the deception dollars, we started making mm-hmm. videos, and then we started making DVDs. But mm-hmm. it became increasingly cheaper and easier to become the media and to reach people directly rather than try to go through the mainstream press, which was impossible. We mm-hmm. we have a caller here from Massachusetts. Jeff, hi. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, actually more of a comment, and that is, as far as September 11th is concerned, it's like a person I know said this to me, we live in a 10-day society. That means after 10 days, out of sight, out of mind. Well, in this state anyways, I really believe that people could care less about 9/11 and so forth, and that basically, as long as people get the bacon, everything's all right. But here's the thing. When the bacon goes, that's when this country has to look out. And that's the scary part, is how people are controlled by money and voting for people that will bring in the money, you see, and being manipulated for peace and security. When I think it was Benjamin Franklin that said, Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, who said, if you go for peace and security, one day you won't have either.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what you're dealing with.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know what? We really deserve what we get as a people for not voting for guys like Ron Paul, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and so forth. Because at the end of the day, all this election stuff is hoopla. It's who will bring home the bacon, who will get me the nice government job or the nice state job, and just mm-hmm. and just keep everything all right and be a sheeple.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a correct word, the sheeple.
Yeah.
I like that. No,
well,
yeah, okay, Carol. I answered that question.
I guess in Europe you have more diversity, though. Actually, although in your parliamentary system, I think they say that America might have been the early democracy, but it's not very well perfected because it's a winner take all. So we don't have as much real representation, especially in our Congress right now. It seems that we have two corporate war parties that have very little difference between them. So there's not much choice. But in Europe, do you have some politicians who actually stand up for the people, or are all of them serving corporate military interests?
Good question, but I believe when it comes to politics, the problem is every election for a given political party, the every given election determines the amount of money they get from the state. So if you see where this is going to, this just means get as much voters as you want. No matter what your program is, they even use the money of the last election to pull out what the people that voted for them last time no consider as the priorities, and then they make their program folder with, you know. So yeah, we're in the same sick system like you are, and
well, we have a break now, and that's Martin Oakes. We made that clear enough, so now it's up to us to bring it down.
Giving the power back to the people. You're listening to We the People Radio Network.
There's some distressing information, sir, which I think should be explained. Just which things have been lost, and just what has been gained. Like the thousands of put options bought days before the crash. If the money were collected, it'd make quite a pretty stash. And the only stocks they bought were American and United. Deutsche Bank knows the answer, but the names have not been cited. And is it just coincidence that this firm in the private sector was once run by Fuzzy Krongard, now CIA director? And I am left to wonder, as the flames are rising higher, was this our latest dystopia, or another Reichstag fire?
Hello, welcome back. That was David Robich with American Reichstag, and I think that is probably the best historical parallel to 9/11 is the Reichstag fire. And in Europe, there's more consciousness of the Reichstag fire. I guess it's people realize, or is it still questionable now who caused the Reichstag fire? Do people have the concept of false flag operations?
Yeah, although you have to remind them sometimes, but then they say, uh-huh, yes, true. So it's like your last caller said, 10 days and it's out of your mind. Sometimes it really adds up, but people really, if they hear things repeatedly, they start remembering it, really. And sometimes they try to link it with other really non-current subjects, but then still, if you say, think about the year 83 or the year 38 or the year 32 even, what did happen there, and did you really think that Hitler was just one guy and he just did it all on his own, and how do you think it happened, and don't you see a parallel with now? And they say no, and then you have to add a little bit of the picture, draw it yourself before their eyes, and then they say yeah, man, what can we do about it? And it's on the website, ignorance kills. It kills you. And as long as it stays like this, but as long as there are people like us and like you and like me and like lots of every day increasingly more people, then there will be more and more people starting to wake up. Okay, for me that's the most important stuff, that there's more people and more people every year waking up. This is the only resistance you have. Even we now have cops in Brussels that really like our message. I'm not going to say names. They are not going to work professionally at the protests this Sunday, of course, but they are also not going to protest with us, because it's forbidden by Belgian law. If you're a cop, you cannot protest, whatever. You cannot show your political color. But we have people almost everywhere. Even some journalists now start to, yeah. But, for me, the most important thing right now is creating the awareness. But this is happening by almost the speed of light. It really happens very fast. And every year around this time, around the beginning of September, there's really like you can feel it on the internet, and you can even feel it in the streets. It's really like a shockwave going through Europe, really a wave of awareness. And I really like to feel that, because it's something that comes spontaneously. there's people know we have a coordination room on the internet, and there's people know sending like my wife and my two kids and my dog and my cat are now proposing to use my room. You can have 3-4 people here, and you can use my room. Yeah, you can use my room this Saturday evening just before the protest if you're coming from Switzerland or Italy, whatever. It's just for free. All we ask is just be a good human being, and we ask nothing else, but you can stay here for the night. And you really, this is something that doesn't normally happen in a peaceful time, where everybody is getting brainwashed to be afraid of each other, and oh, maybe your neighbor is the killer of, you know, this is just this madness. Oh, no matter how hard they try to pump it into our brains, you see very slowly there are really people. We have people that in normal circumstances, and don't ask me to explain normal circumstances, but really normally you have musicians staying with musicians, you have engineers, they stick with engineers, but now you have engineers, and then you have doctors, then you have street workers, you have train conductors, you have all kinds of people, even musicians. they all gather together, and they glue posters in the streets of Brussels, and then they say, oh, Brussels is quite good covered, let's go to Ghent. I've never been to Ghent, but let's go to Ghent. And this is, yeah, for me, this is not something very usual. And it's starting to be more and more usual. So for me, I think this is the beginning of what we call the revolution, instead of revolution, because we think the only thing we can use is the opposite of fear to defeat the whole system that is trying to enslave us. The only thing you can do against it is just spreading love.
That's wonderful.
I think it sounds naive, and I once was that naive, but still, if you think about it, it's the only thing that keeps a human being alive, and it's the only thing that separates us from other beings. Not saying that birds or something cannot feel love, but it's the only thing that we can actively use it as a weapon. Actually, I don't like the use of the word weapon, but it's actually a weapon, and it's actually true. We need a revolution or a revolution, whatever you want, but it's about time.
Yeah. Well, I think
that's what we're doing.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I can't help feeling that's what has happened here in the United States. It's building community, and the community. My website is communitycurrency.org, but the word community is the free exchange of gifts, and I think that's what happens with when people have a shared purpose, and they freely share their gifts. And we have the musicians, and then we have the architects, and we have the researchers, and it's the networks of love and trust that we develop from that shared purpose. What we do here in California. It's that organic, and it's usually it's in solidarity with people because you know them and you share the same purpose. And it is wonderful. It's nice to hear that that's what's happening in Brussels too. Mm-hmm. But what brought you into it? How did you start working on this issue? I mean, it's pretty extraordinary that you should work on this.
You pick the right words. It's pretty extraordinary that we should work on this, because if we are quite honest, I don't know if you follow Belgian politics. Nobody does, even the Belgians don't anymore. But if you followed it a little bit, then you will have to conclude that this year, without trying to put ourselves too much in the spotlight, but this year we did more politics than any politician in Belgium. Being two musicians, two artists, so it's how do you come to that? I don't know. You are performing your songs on the stage. Olivier and me, we are just performers. That's all we do, or we work in the studio. And then suddenly, for years now, I'm trying to send a message through my music, successfully, non-successfully. You decide for yourself. It doesn't really matter. I'm happy with what I do, so that's the only thing that counts for me, and the people that like my music really like it, so that's the only thing that counts. But on the other hand, you have still something like this is the speed at which I'm traveling, and at sending out my message is really way too slow. I'm not targeting enough people because I'm already locking all the people up that might not like my music. And
whoops, we're gonna have a little break here, and then we'll be back with Jules Edward in just a few minutes.
Uncover the Truth with Catherine Albright, live from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Monday to Friday, right here on We the People Radio Network.
Let's impeach George W. Bush, it's long, long overdue. While we're at it, let's make sure to impeach Dick Cheney, too. Pair of world-class criminals like you never seen before. Start impeachment right away and stop another war.
Some hello, welcome back to Questioning War, Organizing Resistance. And and we're speaking with Jules Edward, who's organizing the United for Truth March in Brussels on Sunday, September 7th. And I was just asking Jules about how he came to start working on this issue. Just what woke you up to the fact that the official story wasn't true? Or did it happen immediately, or did somebody give you some information, Jules?
How it happened was quite simple. It was very accidentally, because I never, ever in my life had a television. I barely listened to the radio, and I barely read a newspaper. So I was quite uninformed out there, as a real nihilist should be. So I really didn't care that much about the world, because I always stated my dreams are more real than the day-to-day life I have. Then one day I just was at a friend's house, and I just saw the documentary, really on the state channel. It was a short version of the Loose Change documentary, and they really they cut it short into something of a 35-minute edit. And I watched it, and I was saying, like, probably, but yeah, I knew there was something wrong with 9/11, but I at that moment I didn't really care. At the moment they broadcasted it, it was already 5 years after 9/11. So yeah, if you want to call it waking up, for me, I didn't wake up. I was always in that state of mind, but let's say I know I had some smoking gun to tell other people, like, see, something like this, I knew it would be possible, and I knew this something would like this would be able to happen in this world. And the reason why I became active is because the day after it, they broadcasted another documentary completely at an enormous amount of lies and really just, I don't know why they did it, but they completely debunked the Loose Change video. And I have to admit, I'm very grateful, by the way, to the producers of Loose Change, the Louder Than Words producers, as they endorse the protest too on their website. But for me, Loose Change was really not the best wake-up movie that there was ever made. Unfortunately, I'm trying to be honest, but at the same time, I'm grateful that it woke up so many people. But for me, it was just, how do you say, and the fact that they sent out that documentary the day after, completely saying that everybody who believed those conspiracy theories, that they were complete lunatics, and without really answering to the scientific facts that were presented in the Loose Change, or the scientific questions that were asked in the Loose Change edit the day before. They didn't answer them at all. They just started blaming the people. They started blaming Thierry Messon. They started blaming other whistleblowers, and just blaming and telling they're crazy. And this to me sounded like, 1984 from George Orwell. And I was really thinking, is this happening here in Belgium? Where I knew we have all kinds of stuff that cannot be shown in the daylight, but then still I was really caught by surprise. And then I was looking around on internet forums, nothing, nobody talks about it. And I said, come on, there must be somebody really trying to save the world and trying to inform the population, but there was nobody. And that's the moment where you decide, okay, let's just do it. And I had no, I had organized a concert and I had organized parties, but I never organized a protest before. So for me, I just said accidentally the 4th of July of last year, I just said to my girlfriend then, I said, okay, I'm going to organize a protest in Brussels September 9th. And yeah, I'm just going to do it. And she said, okay. And I had no idea of what I was walking into, but after 2 months of campaigning, we had 200 people almost solely organized by the internet. And then I knew these 200 people, although some of them might have looked like maniacs, I don't know what you think or whatever who thinks, but for me, all those people couldn't have been crazy like they depicted them in the movie shown on our state television. So that encouraged me even more to start another rally. And for us now, as we see it, we follow the events and we follow everything in the movement. And unfortunately, we start to see now that even the 9/11 movement gets broken up by, you have the Stephen Jones side, you have the Judy Wood side, and you have even other sides, the UFO side. And it's really, again, you see that they are trying to divide the whole movement. And I don't say they, I don't say who it is, but you really see how difficult it is to unite people. And that they are, again, people make that same mistake. They want to follow a leader. They want to say, yeah, I'm completely with David Ray Griffin, or yeah, I'm completely with Alex Jones, or with whoever you want to be. But man, I really dislike the first person that says I'm completely with Jules Edward, because I'm not representing anything. The only thing I really and honestly want to do is to unite everybody and every organization that is just trying to fight for a better world. I don't care on what team they are going for and how they are doing it. Some of them once say drinking water, the others maybe are questioning the fact that the third world has such an enormous amount of debt, and they plead for the abolition of it. One of those organizations, the CADTM, is a European international NGO, so they're really completely non-governmental, and they're funded all by their own and by their sympathizers. They are just now endorsing us this year, and it's not endorsing us, but they are one of the first who said, yeah, come on, let's do this together. And okay, we have our fight at our level, but actually, if you look at it, every person on earth doesn't like war. Nobody likes war. Every person on earth needs drinking water. Every person on earth needs food. They need to take a shower now and then, preferably more than just once a week. And it's really something, if you see this general thing that everybody wants, if you just look at that, then it's just the only thing we need to do is unite. We really just need to all stand together and say, no, we are not going to execute this agenda of these very few people anymore. And it doesn't really matter. I keep saying that it doesn't matter what did hit the World Trade Centers, what hit the Pentagon. Nobody should care about it. The only thing that is important is that something like that could have happened. And yes, we want an explanation, but oh no, we are never, ever in this lifetime, as long as these criminals are being at the top, we are not going to get an answer, at least not a honest one. So for us, the 9/11 movement, no, it's probably the last year that we will use it as TEMA, because again, you see people jumping on the TEMA and they really want to say it was termite, it was a space weapon, it was this, it was that. And they really want already, again, a definition. And again, they want to follow a leader, while the only leader in your life you need to follow is yourself. you're the only one who can direct your own body, your own spirit into the right direction of your life. And again, this sounds naive, and again, this might sound leftish, but it's not about how it sounds. It's really about the content of that message. If everybody decides for himself what is good for me, then you just have a perfect world. And if everybody would do that, and if they wouldn't be under the pressure of that money system that is just, man, it's absorbing the earth, in a sort of speak. It's really depleting all the natural resources we ever had. Just for what? Economic growth. And for what? We need that economic growth to save the planet? No, this doesn't add up. Yeah. So if you just take a moment, stand still and think about this, and if you actually think that you are doing a job, but why are you doing a job? Why is everybody working? Is this really necessary? And does everybody who does that for, I don't know how many hours you have to work in the States, but here it's like 38 to 40 hours a week, and that doesn't include the time you are in your car or on the train moving from your home to your work, but it's actually the government really saying that you have to waste so much time in a week.
We have a break, but we'll be back with Jules in just a few minutes. Question War, Organizing Resistance, and that was a song by Martin Oakes, and it's World Trade Center Building 7. And I don't know, did you hear, Jules, out there that our official NIST report came out saying that fire did bring down Building 7, and they announced it just before the Democratic circus and the Republican circus, and I think it was to just sort of bury it with all the propaganda trying to sell the corporate warmongering politicians that are offered as choices to the American public in this ritual every 4 years. But fortunately, we do have more and more people and scientists, rational people, challenging that Building 7 could possibly have come down just by fire. And to me, it's heartening that that you actually did get to see Loose Change, even an edited version on television. And I know that there have been other documentaries like on regular television there in Europe. Am I right about that, or haven't there been some documentaries? I know we've shown them even at our film festivals, which challenge the official story that make it to television, or is it all just on the internet?
In Europe, I can only speak for Belgium. Again, I state I don't have a television, so it's we only Olivier and I have few advisors who really follow up. They are actually media watchers. They watch whatever happens if there suddenly starts a war in Georgia and all of those things. Whatever happens, they report it to us. So we stay informed and we know what happens in the world. But to be honest with you, I have no idea of if there has been anything else broadcasted in Europe except Loose Change. I know Loose Change has been in theaters in Holland, and there was a really very short version on Belgian television. They never showed it again after that day. The only thing else I know is everything that happened was really organized by the movement itself and not by corporate media or by state media. If you're surprised that we are seeing this on television, this has much to do with the fact that our media still tries to prove that it is real media and that they're really showing everything. And in fact, they are, but they are not neutral, not to say so. They are really, even the state media, they have a contract with the state, and in their contract, if you just would have to write that contract in one line, it is actually stating that keep your population walking in line, of course. So they broadcast such a thing, but immediately the day after it, they broadcast something else that completely says, whatever you saw yesterday, it was bullshit. Pardon my language, but it's something like that. And for the rest, I have really no idea. I'm starting to see that the movie we cooperated with and the Unter Falsche Flagge, the German movie from Nuo Visual Productions, who is Frank Hofer. He was there last year. He will be here again this year, this Sunday. He made it all by his own. The first, for me, very high quality European 9/11 movie. And he really did a great job on it. And I'm seeing now it's getting top ranked at Google Video. And he's actively working on getting it out on television, or at least getting it into the theaters. So
that's great. We're premiering it at our film festival on September 11th in California. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, we sent out review copies to the press. So we're showing Zero. Also, we wanted to show the elephant in the room, but I didn't get it in time to include it in the film festival. But I think it's wonderful that there are so many films from outside of the United States being produced on the topic. It's just we produce our own too, but I think the more the better. I think too that because the situation globally is deteriorating so quickly, that more and more people are discovering that they don't trust the corporate media, and they are getting their information from the internet. In fact, I told you I was running for Congress, and my opponent, who is trying to sell the war on terrorism, you know, the Democrats are trying to do it better than the Republicans, but she's saying that the greatest threat to the United States is the cyber terrorist threat. And I think what it really means is that they're just very frightened of people being influenced by the free flow of information on the internet, and they want to control that too. That's that's our one of our biggest concerns.
Don't forget, the internet was initially a military system. So the fact that we are all Facebooking right now means that they are still using the internet. It is freedom of information, but it's the easiest way on earth, if you are an intelligence service, to collect information about the whole population connected on the internet. And right now they really have, if it was a few years ago, decades of years ago, if you would have done the same thing, the intelligence services would have had a very hard job in discovering where we lived and how we organize ourselves and all the stuff. But no, right now we are all on the internet and we have a website, and it's you can see it as an advantage, but it's also a big disadvantage. Yeah.
Except I think one of our strengths is that we could be open and honest and transparent, and mm-hmm. they can only maintain power if they mm-hmm. are secretive and mm-hmm. deceptive. And so mm-hmm. that's where we have the advantage, because we can win people over to our side. Even within the government, there's more and more mm-hmm. people who are changing sides now and joining the movement for truth and peace. I think you are so right, because I think their paradigm is one of fear and terror, and ours is love and hope and courage. And mm-hmm. so it's obviously more fun to be loving and hopeful and courageous than terrorizing mm-hmm. and scaring people to death. So I think we will win.
mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. But we also have one very big advantage, and that is speed. If you watch it last year, all media, Al Jazeera even, was there in Brussels. Nobody in the world expected that one person, actually maybe three if you look at the big picture, but only three people last year organized a rally of 200 people in Europe. Nobody could ever had imagined it. And the media were there ready with their cameras, and they were trying to film, and they really wanted to say, like, look, only 20 people showed up, but there were 200 people. Okay, it might not sound much, but we hit them on speed, because they couldn't expect us how fast we went. And this year, again, they couldn't expect that we would be growing that fast, and next year they will be able to expect it a little bit more. But speed is really important.
Yes. Well, I thank you so much for your work and for your courage, and it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for waking up so early in the morning.
No problem.
To be on this show.
No problem.
Really good pleasure, and I hope it goes great. I can't wait to see the video. I hope you guys make one.
Stay tuned on the website, I would say.
I will, and good luck, and solidarity. I send you much love.
Okay, you too. Good luck in America.
Thank you.